in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Of course, Acts chapter 2, I think it's probably right now to me, it's the center of the Bible. After all that the Old Testament shows us, that sin brought into the world, that, and then Jesus came in the Gospels and paid for all of that. And then in Acts chapter 2, Acts was where it happened. What Jesus paid for actually happened. That God's presence would once again come to live in man. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter was explaining this. And then the people, 3,000 people got saved when they heard the good news that God had come back into the earth. Instantly they got saved. And many of you, you're going to say, you know what? I believe God loves me. I believe God's coming to me. I believe I can be saved today. Some of you are going to get saved today, just like that. But here's what the Bible says. They continued, verse 42. They continued, well, back up to 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. We're going to be baptizing at the end of the service today. Several people are going to be baptized. They'll be over in the old sanctuary. I want you to come and just encourage them. Just cheer for them. We just look for any kind of reason to cheer. We look for any kind of reason to praise God. Hey, y'all want to praise? Okay, let me give you something to praise about. Today is Makita Davies' birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. We just look for anything. Wait, let me see. I think I got something else. Did we already say happy anniversary to Johnny and Song? Yes. Well, let's praise them again. Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just look for it. Anybody else have a birthday? Come on, let's praise God for anybody else. Birthday. Yay, Jesus! You know why we praise God? Because if you weren't born, you wouldn't be here. I tell you, we just look for any reason to praise Jesus. We're glad you were born. We're glad that you're here. I like being me. Do you like being you? I wouldn't want to be you. And I'm sure you don't want to be me. Listen, we're glad. Listen. When we get saved, God gives us a joy. That's what Jesus said. He said, your joy is going to be full. You no longer want to be somebody else. You no longer want to be envious of what somebody else has because of the fullness of joy, because he's with you just like you are. I know five, six. Anybody else get it? Six people got it. Okay, all right. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now watch this. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want us to just focus on those two words in verse 47. After they got saved, they were all praising God. Everybody say, praising God.
Praising God.
They were all praising God. You may be seated. We look for any excuse. You find that among Christians. Christians look for any excuse to praise God. I like the scripture that Brother Gardner was reading for us. Let's back over there to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, David says, bless the Lord, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. Now that lets us know that praise is a decision. He told himself, soul, we're going to bless the Lord. And there are circumstances and situations where you're going to have to command your soul. You're going to have to tell yourself what to do. You can't let yourself rule you. I don't know if that's right. You can't let your flesh rule you. You're going to have to tell yourself what you're going to do. Because there are some circumstances where it doesn't feel like, you may not feel like praising God. In fact, there are a lot of times when your flesh will feel more like complaining. Your flesh will feel more like accusing. Your flesh will feel more like pointing a finger at somebody. And at those times, it's those times when a Christian has been given power to say to yourself, bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm not going to blame somebody else. I'm not going to accuse somebody else. I'm not going to run somebody else down. I'm going to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So sometimes you're going to have to just command yourself. David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I like this part, Brother Gardner. And forget not all his benefits. Now, you know what? When you start thinking about God's benefits, you can't help but you can't help but praise the Lord. When you know you got it, when you know what he's doing, when you know that God is with you, you can't help but praise God. When you think about his benefits, that's why it's important to think right. You can't have joy. Now, I was saying this. I said that that we just look for any reason to praise God. Now, some of y'all can remember back when you looked for any reason to get drunk. You know what I'm saying? When you, just any reason to get drunk. Just okay, it's your birthday? Let's get drunk. Come on. It's anniversary. Come on, let's get drunk. Okay. Family reunion. Let's get drunk. Okay. We used to look for any reason to get drunk. Why? Because we wanted to escape the reality. We wanted to escape the things that were happening to us. So we go anywhere looking to get drunk. Well, that's when you get saved. You say, we look for any reason to praise God. Now listen to what I'm about to tell you. Not because we need to escape, but we need to release. See, when you get drunk, you escape. But when you praise God, you release. What are you talking about? I mean, you release the power of the Lion of Judah on your side. You start to release the roar of God. You start to release the power of God on your behalf when you're praising. So we just look for any kind of reason. Your birthday, my birthday. My birthday is a few more months, but that's all right. We'll just praise him right now. Hallelujah. Any reason to praise God. Because the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you need strength every day. You need strength every day. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits. And then just skip on over. All of this is good. You can read it when you get a chance. I don't have time to read it all. But just go on over to to the end there. Bless the Lord, ye, verse 20, ye his angels. You know the angels are constantly praising and blessing God. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers or servants of his, that do his pleasure. How many people do his pleasure? Come on. How many people you excited about doing the will of God? Now listen, I tell you, the will of God used to scare me. You know, when I was a kid, you know, somebody said, the will of God. That meant that I was going to just marry somebody ugly. You know what I'm saying? The will of God, it just sounded like, oh, it's the will of God. And then I'm going to live in Australia somewhere. It's the will of God. The will of God. It just always meant that something, I was going to just have to lay myself down under some terrible fate called the will of God. Come on, y'all thought you were going to marry somebody ugly too. Come on. Anybody else ever been scared of the will of God? Come on. And people will make you think like, nobody knows what God might do. And people use the will of God in all kinds of negative ways. They say, well, you know, somebody died. Well, that's the will of God. Someone have a car wreck. Well, that must have been the will of God. Somebody get divorced. Well, yes, you know that was the will of God. And of course, you marry somebody ugly. Yeah, that's the will of God. Right? Come on. And so we grew up, we were scared. You know, we're scared of the will of God. That's why it was so good when we found that scripture that said where God has a permissible will, a good, a permissible, and a perfect will. We skip that perfect part. You know, we don't want to get in there because that's really where he really messed with you. But you go for that, okay, the permissive will of God. If you grew up in church, you grew up thinking, okay, I'm going to stay out here in the permissive will of God. But you know what's over there in the perfect will. That's right, the ugly person. That's you. In the perfect will of God. But how many found out when you read the Bible that God's will for you is good? God's will for you is healing. God's will for you is happiness. God's will for you is constant joy. God's will for you is, watch out, prosperity. God's will for you is good health. God's will for you is long life. God's will for you is to marry a beautiful person. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Right on cue, Miss Jackson. That's very cute. Notice what he says. He says, when you love the will of God, now you're going to bless him. See, when you're scared of the will of God, it's hard to praise him. But when you learn what the will of God is that is good for you, then every time you hear about the will of God, you got another reason to praise God. You got another reason to praise God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Notice what he says here in verse 21. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. And then I love this verse 22. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. In other words, if God is in a place, he's dominating. God don't go somewhere where he don't dominate. Wherever God shows up, he takes over. God doesn't take sides, he just takes over. When he shows up, it becomes his. And then the last part of that verse says, bless the Lord, O my soul. So the question is God dominating your soul? Is he dominating your soul? You know he's dominating your soul when you start blessing him. I bless the Lord because I want him to dominate my soul. I don't want fear to dominate my soul. I don't want hatred to dominate my soul. I want God to dominate my soul. And so you know what I do? I have to make myself bless the Lord so that God is dominating my soul. So we're looking for reasons, right? We're looking for reasons. We're looking for reasons to praise the Lord. Let's go back over to Acts chapter 2. Verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, when people come to the altar and they give their lives to God, and many of you are going to do that, you're going to say, God, I give you my life, and you're going to be just filled with so much joy and so much peace, because that's what he comes to do. He comes to lift the burdens off of your life and give you joy and peace. And you know what the rest of us are going to do? We're going to celebrate. We celebrate every time someone gets saved. Every time God adds to the church, we celebrate because we're just looking for a reason to praise God. Now, let me show you something. Look over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 15. You feel it? You feel a praise starting to come on? Come on. You gotta bless the Lord, oh my soul. I like what David said. He said, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Some of y'all need to encourage yourself in the Lord. So, are you at Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 15. By him, by Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. How often? Continually. So we're to offer the sacrifice of praise to God how often? Continually. Not just when we feel good, but continually. Now listen, that's going to take something. First, that's going to take some practice. You're going to have to really practice praising God when it's hard. You're going to have to practice praising your way through some things. Because really, we're in the habit of complaining our way through. We're in the habit of murmuring. We're in the habit of calling somebody up and telling them because we really would like some pity. Mighty quiet. A few years ago, this is a long time ago, when we first got married, I wrote this song because the Lord showed me. He said, your faith won't work if you're trying to get pity from people. That's a word for somebody. So I wrote this song. I was walking around, I just said, I don't need no pity. I've got mercy from God. I don't need no pity. I've got mercy from God. I don't need no pity. I've got mercy from God. I've got mercy. I've got mercy. I've got mercy from God. When you're trying to get pity from people, it'll short-circuit your faith in God. So it's important how you use your lips, what you say with your mouth. So when bad things happen, you have to guard yourself from calling people and talking to people about your trouble. You got to guard yourself against talking about what's going on, what the devil is doing. You got to use your mouth. Listen, when you in a, listen, when the army gives you weapons, when the military gives you weapons, you're supposed to use your weapon when you're in warfare. Well, the Bible says that your mouth, your praise is a weapon. And when you get into the war, that's not a time to start messing around playing with your gun, put your gun in your mouth and see how wild. That's not the time to start playing with your gun. Listen, that's the time to use your weapon in the war. Don't let the devil get you murmuring and complaining. What I'm about to tell you is really for next week's message, but just pretend like you didn't hear it, okay? Listen. When the devil comes to attack you, the first thing he's going to do is he's going to talk to you. He's going to try to bluff you. He's going to try to get you to agree with what he's saying. All right, this is going to be good next week. Don't miss next week. Remember, I'll just tell you, I'm telling it again. I'll just tell it anyway, okay? It's my stage, okay? Okay, so. Remember when Goliath was coming to attack David? Before Goliath even got to David, he started talking to him. He started talking because that's the devil's strategy. He started telling David, I'm gonna feed you to my gods. He started telling David because he wanted to get in David's head. And the devil, listen, before he brings sickness on you, before he brings a division between you and your spouse, before the devil begins to do anything to you, he wants to get into your head. So he'll start giving you negative thoughts about not only what's going to happen, but why you deserve it. And you start thinking those thoughts about what could happen and what you did to deserve it. And the devil's got you halfway beat already. Don't miss next week. So you got to use your mouth because that's your weapon against the negative thoughts that the devil gives you. So if you start using your mouth to agree with the negative thoughts that the devil's saying, that's the other half of your defeat. You already whooped. When you agree with the devil, then the devil's got you. When you agree with sickness coming, when you start to feel it coming on, and you start to say, yeah, I think I'm getting it. You call somebody and say, I think I'm getting it. And then you call somebody, call your mom. Mom, I think I'm getting it. And then you call somebody, I think I'm getting it. By the time you call three people, you got it. You got it. Because you use your weapon against yourself on the side of the devil. That's why it's so important that you understand that your lips, your mouth, your praise is a weapon. And when you start to have those negative thoughts, you know, when you have those negative thoughts about your spouse, you have those negative thoughts about yourself, you have those negative thoughts about your supervisor, you have those negative thoughts about your future, whatever it is, he's going to bring you some negative thoughts because he wants to get in your head. But the thoughts aren't the problem. It's what you say. It's what you say. That's where the problem starts. And if you start agreeing with those negative thoughts, you'll have what you say. That's what Jesus said. But if, on the other hand, you know what the Word says, and you begin to take what God says and put what God says in your mouth, there's some folks you probably won't be able to call because they can't get with faith. They just want to hear how bad things are. They don't even want to talk to you about nothing good. They want to talk, how bad is it, honey? How bad is it, child? Tell me about. Listen, those are not the folks you want to talk to. You want to pick your Bible up and call somebody that wants to agree with you about what God is saying. They want to agree with you about your healing. They want to agree with you about your finances. They want to agree with you about your marriage being a good marriage. They want to talk to you about, you know, well, you know, he just like my. I remember when I went through that. Yeah, mine was just like that. I'm glad I got rid of mine. You need to get rid of y'all's too. Click, you need to hang that phone up, see? You need to get you with somebody that knows the word of God, and they're going to agree with you for the strengthening of your marriage, the strengthening of your health, the strengthening of your faith. Aren't you you looking for a reason to praise God, ain't you? Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're just looking for a reason. Just give me a reason. Philippians chapter 4. You know, one day we were just worshiping the Lord. I was standing down and we were just worshiping the Lord. And in my spirit, the Holy Ghost gave me this. I think it was a Snoopy cartoon. It was some kind of cartoon. And I just started laughing at that cartoon. It was so funny. And then I was just laughing. And then suddenly I'm just laughing. I'm just rolling laughing. I forgot all about the cartoon. But he just gave me just something that started me laughing. And after that, I was just over in the supernatural laughing. Forgot all about Snoopy. We're just looking for any reason to praise God. Come on, just any reason. You may get a vision. God may give you something on the inside of you. It may start you just laughing right where you're sitting. We'll carry you out. No, I'm only kidding. We're going to agree with you for you to enjoy what God is doing. Philippians chapter 4. Are you there? Verse 6. Be careful. That means worried, fretful, anxious. Be careful for how much? Nothing. There's nothing that you need to worry about. Woo! There's nothing I need to worry about. Shh. Shh. The devil gonna try to tell you, you need to worry. No, there ain't nothing I need to worry about. I like what 1 Peter 5 says. He says, casting all your care upon him because he cares for me. I don't want to be nobody else. I don't want to be nobody that needs to worry. He cares for me. Notice what he says here. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With what? Thanksgiving. See, a lot of people aren't getting their prayers answered because they don't know how to pray. See, a lot of people's prayers is just a lot of complaining to God. A lot of murmuring to God. But he says, if you're going to really pray, he says, pray and supplicate with what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Because thanksgiving is evidence of your faith. Thanksgiving is evidence that you believe that you got it before you even see it. Thanksgiving is evidence that you believe that everything's going to be all right. Thanksgiving is evidence that you don't think you need to worry about nothing. Thanksgiving releases your faith. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, one more, and then I think we're going to just lose some praise and thanksgiving and worship in here. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Are you looking for a reason to praise? Yes. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands. Now watch this. Serve the Lord with gladness. With what?
Gladness.
Gladness. come before his presence. Now, this is how, listen, he's giving you the protocol to come into his presence. A lot of people are saved and never been to the presence of God, never experienced the presence of God. He's giving you the protocol. If you want God to work in your life, here's what he says. He says, come into his presence with what?
Singing.
With singing. Look at verse 4. Enter into his gates with what? And into his courts with what?
Praise.
Be thankful unto him and bless his name. This is the way. Listen, a lot of people are saved. They say, I'm saved, but I'm just waiting to go to heaven to meet God. Listen, God wants to meet you right here. You don't have to go to heaven to meet God. God is living on the inside of you, and you can experience his presence, but you got to come into his courts. You got to come into his gates. You got to come into his presence the right way. You got to come in. You don't just come in with murmuring and complaining and talking about how come God, you ain't done this. Listen, God's sitting there waiting on you to come in. You still outside the gate. You haven't even got in the gate yet. And you think you're praying. If you're not thanking him, if you're not praising him, you're not even in the courtyard. How many people are grateful? Quiet, why don't y'all come? Come on. Let's loose this praise in here. Shoot. They're going to come and y'all just do what you want to. I know what I'm going to do. Y'all just do what you want to.